This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, January 26th, 2025. Faith challenges.
Good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Isn't this just a glorious, slightly warmer day to be part of God's creation? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to give you a little update on Carrie. She had knee surgery on Friday. So knee surgery went very well, and they gave her like this spinal block, and the pain went very well, and the spinal block wore off yesterday, but they've got other things taking care of that for the most part. So Carrie's doing very well. She wasn't able to be here today. She thought that was a little bit too aggressive. She's home. She watched first service. Our daughters are with her. And she just wanted me to tell you thank you so much for all your prayers, your calls, your texts, and all the consideration. She's so thankful for all that you've done for her, and looks forward to being back as soon as possible as she convalesces at home and gets that knee ever stronger till it's back to close to what it was with the brand new joint. So thank you and praise God for the healing that is and is going to take place. Amen. Amen. So I'm Alan Jones, Carrie and I co-pastor here at CCC. And, I'm a sinner who's been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Most holy God, what a great day you've placed before us. I thank you for the opportunity to be here, to be together, to share in your word, to explore some ideas today, to talk about faith. And please guide us. Help us to stay focused on you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Faith. I'm not talking about, everyday faith, out there in the street. I'm talking about Bible-based faith. Talking about the faith that is God-centered, that spiritual faith. The faith we talk about in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for. And that hope isn't just a hope like, well, maybe it'll happen. Hope is an assured hope, a sure hope. The hope is what we hope for, and the assurance about what we do not see. See, if you see it, you don't have to have faith, do you? Hello. So our faith, though, it's not just wishing. It's not that kind of faith. It's expecting the hope we talk about here. You know, we've been around long enough to have seen what God has done, what God is doing, what God will do. Our hope is based on knowing that all things are possible with God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Of all the things we can put our faith in, and we do put faith in a lot of things, the one and only thing we absolutely can assuredly put our faith in is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the only one, the only thing worthy of our faith, God and God alone. That being said, even though we might believe what I just shared, we at times still come up a little short, don't we? I know I do. I've got the faith given. Now I come up short. In our humanness, we're sometimes less than faithful, less than faith-filled. We give lip service to what I just said, but deep at our core, at the very gut level, we have trouble sometimes being truly faithful. There are challenges, there are obstacles to our faith. And those challenges we're going to explore here we're going to explore the challenges as we spell the word faith. And so the first challenge we talk about is going to start with the letter F, and that's the challenge of fear. Fear. I think all of us, or at least most of us, at one time or another, have allowed fear to grab a hold of us so strongly that we might even question our faith. You know, we know God loves us. We know God will take care of us, and we should have the faith necessary to overcome that fear, but sometimes we don't have enough. You know, we talked about last week, you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move this mountain. Sometimes we don't even have that, do we? Sometimes we don't even have that. And you know, there's no magic formula, no special go-to verse that just will magically make it happen. Fear to faith. All we have is a belief and trust in God, who is more powerful than we are, who can give us faith in the midst of fear. You know, it's like that peace that passes all understanding we talk about sometimes. All we can do is trust and hope in the Lord of all creation. I love the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, and I especially love chapter 40. I often share from chapter 40 at a funeral to give encouragement. Especially these verses, Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. This is the Lord speaking through Isaiah. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting, not the temporary, not the here today, gone tomorrow, everlasting God, creator of the, He put it all together, didn't he? That's basically the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. You ever have those days where you're just tired to the bone? You're just dog tired. You can hardly lift one foot. That doesn't happen to the Lord, does it? Mm-mm. I mean, we think, why did he take a day off on, why did he take Sabbath? Well, he didn't really need it, but we did. Huh? Yeah. He will not grow weary or tired, and his understanding, no one can, his understanding is far beyond any of our even biggest imagination. He gives strength to the weary. Boy, we need that, don't we, some days? Increases the power of the weak. Wow. Now, you young guys, listen up here. Because even you're going to grow tired and weary. And young men, they stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will renew their strength. I love the soar. You ever get on that ride at Disney, that soaring? Yeah, it's a great ride. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Wow. I love that scripture. Makes me want to get up and run. I'm not going to. It just makes me want to. It's easier said than done sometimes, though, isn't it? You try, but you're still fearful. Here's the thing. We either believe God or we don't. We either trust God or we don't. We either have faith in God or we don't. Living in fear is contrary to the life God wants for us. Now, as I'm talking today, I'm not talking about clinical extent of things, where a fear that is off the deep end, you know what I mean, and other things today. I'm not talking clinical. I'm not talking things that are only going to be helped with, you know, medication or. I'm talking, you know, the fears that we have. Okay. Living in fear is contrary to the life God wants for us. He does not want you to live in fear. He doesn't want any of us to live in fear. That's not what his plan is. And here's the problem. Fear is our choice. Fear is our choice. It's up to us to choose, to decide. Being constantly fearful basically says, God, you're not enough. I can't trust you. Ouch. King David wrote the all-time trust-filled poem, the psalm that basically lays us and our fears at God's feet. This is another thing I often share at funerals because it just brings such comfort. It's that Psalm 23, and you can say it with me, but I'm going to do a lot of stopping and starting. Because we're not just going to whip through this thing like we do, and you know, out of our deep memory and be thinking about something else as we're saying it. We're going to look at it here today. So, the Lord is my shepherd. So that makes us what? Yeah. Sheep are dumb. That's what I'm told. I'm not a biology veterinary, but they tell me that's why they get into places they shouldn't get to. Of course, that sounds like us too, doesn't it? Hello. But they get into these crevices. That's why the shepherd have that crook, because they got to reach down and pull them out, because otherwise they couldn't get out. They'd die. But they'll go back and do the same thing. Huh. Sounds like us again, doesn't it? So we need a shepherd, and that's the Lord. And the Lord is my shepherd. I don't have want, do I? I shall not want. I've got what I need. God's going to give me. God's going to take care of me. He's going to give me what I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, when it's August, and my front yard is burnt to a crisp, that's not what we're talking here. That's not very much fun to lay down, and it's kind of prickly, isn't it? It does not. We're talking lush, green pasture here. You know the type I'm talking about. He makes me lie down in that. Doesn't it make you feel good right here? We'd like to do it today, although it might be a little chilly. He leads me beside the still waters. I'm not talking those still waters like those ponds around town where in August they've got that green scum on top of them. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. We're talking those still waters that are clear, they're refreshing. Still, they're not these violent rivers, but it's a calm, refreshing place there. Gosh. And he restores my soul. He brings my soul back to what it was. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his namesake. It's for him. You know, in Israel, there are hills, mountains, where there's this one place, especially Jesus talked about it, where a guy was going through and guys came down and jumped him and left him for dead. They hide up in the hills, and they're great places to attack. That's kind of like what David's talking about here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the... You know those valleys where you get the shadows because the sun doesn't always shine, and the shadow of death. Even if I'm there, I will fear what? No evil. No evil. Why? You are with me. Think about that. Lord, if you're with me, I'm not going to fear. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear evil because you're with me. Your rod, these tools that you... The rod is, it's almost like a club with nails and stuff in it. You could beat off an animal, bears and lions and stuff. And a staff, you know, that's the thing that the shepherd uses to guide the sheep. They comfort me. And not only that, you prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You're basically celebrating me in the presence of my enemies, Lord. You anoint my head with oil. It's important. Oil brings healing. My cup runs over. That means I've got more than enough. You've given me more than I need, Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, not just today, not just tomorrow, not just till Friday, all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a great psalm, isn't it? That brings me great comfort. Wow. Wow. You know, I would encourage you. Next time you're fearful, you got something on your mind that you can't get to sleep, you can't think of anything else. Force you to not have a good day. Encourage you to stop dropping. No, I'm sorry. To stop, close your eyes, and pray. You might have to open one eye because I don't want you just to do this from memory. Because too often when we do things from memory, it's by rote. Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm done. No, it's not that. Once you, if you're really where you just got that fear that you just can't, take this and just go through it like we just did and think about what God has given you with this poem and what God represents. Stop at every word or so. Just give it the attention it deserves and focus on God as you're reading the psalm. And I have a feeling it will help with your fears. A stands for anxious or anxiety. That's a second cousin to fear. Pastor Johnny Artavanis, in an online article entitled Anxiety and Fear, Navigating the Thin Line Between Concern and Worry, tells us that the Greek word merimna appears 17 times in the Bible, with a range of translations that goes from care to concern to anxiety. Now, care and concern aren't bad. They're good things, aren't they? Somebody cares for you. Somebody's concerned. But when it gets to anxiety or worry, that's not so good. That's not so good. 12 of the 17 occurrences refer to scripture that warn against anxiety. Anxiety is a failure to exercise faith in God's character, Pastor Artavanis tells us. He then used a water analogy to help us understand. He says that when we bottle up our anxieties instead of channeling them toward God, they become like stagnant pools, like that pool I mentioned a couple minutes ago, you know, where the water's in August, it's green, it's algae-filled, it's unhealthy. Lord wants us to cast our cares upon Him like flowing streams, constant motion, clear, fresh, life-giving, refreshing. God does not want us in a situation that's not healthy. He wants us in a life-giving situation. Check out 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on Him, God. Why? Because He cares for you. Easier said than done. Amen. Amen. Easier said than done. We need to work at it. We need to go to the Lord in prayer as we give our anxieties to Him. The challenge here is that when we get so focused on anxiety and worry that we're basically saying, Lord, I don't trust you. Think about that. Lord, I don't trust you. If you don't trust the Lord, what do you trust? Who do you trust? Truth is, the Lord is the only one we can trust. We need to offer our anxiety to God, confess, repent, seek our deeper trust in the Lord. Idolatry. Extreme admiration, love, or reverence for something or someone. When we put something other than God number one in our life, it will definitely challenge our faith. Wait a minute. What about my wife? What about my kids? Important. No question about it. God gave you a wife or a husband, a spouse, kids. They're very important, but they're not number one. They're not number one. Check out the Ten Commandments, 1 and 2. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have, say it with me, no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. And I think even if you didn't make it, he doesn't want you bowing down to things. Even if you didn't make it, he don't want you bowing down to things other than him. No other gods. You know, gods take a lot of different forms, don't they? We might not realize it, but there are times when we put many other things ahead of God, and it's just wrong. And like I've said many times, I love Carrie with all I've got. But she's only number two, never to be number one. And she knows it, and she likewise with me. No idols. We go to India. They have like 330 million gods. That's a lot to keep track of. They worship cows. I know there's a temple there we've seen, the monkey god temple. They worship rats. They'll give rats the milk rather than their kids. I mean, it's... And we think, that's kind of weird, isn't it? How can they be so weird to worship something like that? Or in the Old Testament, remember the Asherah pole? Kind of like a totem pole. Or remember the King Nebuchadnezzar with the gold, 90-foot gold statue, you know? Who would worship that? We think that's weird. Not careful, we do the same thing. Sometimes with people like entertainers or sports figures, or sometimes with teams, go Birds, things like that. Sometimes we worship things like houses or cars. I've seen guys who seem to worship their cars, the amount of time and attention and care they give it. It might be true for women as well, but I just know some guys I've seen. And we think it's weird worshiping a monkey, but we worship a car? I mean, come on. If we're not careful, we find ourselves putting God in the back seat of one thing or another. Not putting him in the number one position anymore. Well, he's got to remember, you shall have no other gods before me. F-A-I-T. T stands for trial and tribulation. Trials and tribulations can challenge our faith. Difficult situations, unpleasant experiences, those things that test our resistance, our resilience, our strength, our character, those things in life that bring you to your knees and have you asking yourself, why me, Lord? Why me? Anybody here ever had that? And the rest of them going, well, maybe. Why me, Lord? You don't know the answer to that question, why me, Lord? It's the same. It's the answer. It's really the only answer to the question. When you ask, why me, Lord? The answer is, why not you? Why not you? What is it about you that makes you special that you shouldn't have any trials or tribulations? They're part of life. We're reminded of Joseph and the coat of many colors. Remember that story from Genesis? Joseph was a sharp guy, a little bit egotistical, but a sharp guy. His brothers, though, sold him into slavery. Yeah, that'd be a good reason to say, Lord, why me? Don't you think? They sold him into slavery, went down to Egypt, ended up head of the household of the chief of the soldiers or whatever, Potiphar's house. Great position if you can get it. He was doing great. But then Potiphar's wife took a shine to him and tried to seduce him. When he wouldn't be seduced, she flipped it and said that he was trying to seduce her, and he ends up in prison. Why me, Lord? He didn't ask that, did he? No. He actually, when he went to prison, there was an opportunity for him to use his gifts for another guy in the prison, and then ultimately for Pharaoh to help him interpret dreams. It all came down to him being the number two guy in all of Egypt. So you never know what God's got in store, do you? When you're asking, why me, Lord? If you just hang, you might find out. Why me, Lord? You know, it's not easy to do what Joseph did, though. It's not easy to stay focused on the prize rather than getting up all caught up in why me. Apostle Paul faced many trial tribulations after Jesus got his attention. He went beatings. He was shipwrecked. He was imprisoned. He was sharing the good news of Jesus all the while he's paying a severe price. You're thinking, why, Lord, why are you putting him through this? The Lord has his reasons. Paul did not allow these things to redirect his focus, but did allow them to take his eye, did not allow them to take his eye off the prize. He stayed focused. Here's what he says in 1 Philippians 3:14. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. He didn't get focused on the trial and tribulation of the here and now. He got focused on the end. He faced challenges the whole time he was a follower of Jesus Christ, but he didn't let those trials and tribulations distract him or determine who he was. He stayed focused on the prize. F-A-I-T-H. H stands for hubris. Who? Say hubris. That's a good word. It's excessive pride, arrogance, and overconfidence that leads to downfall. The Greek mythology, the mortals who displayed hubris were severely punished by the gods. A good example of hubris might be when, like, say, somebody starts a business, it gets very, very successful, and but in the process, they don't take advice from anybody. They think they know it all at all levels of business, and they end up, the business gets bigger than they are, and they end up losing it because of their excessive pride, because of their hubris. Hubris means that I am focused on me. It means that I'm so sure of myself and my abilities that I have trouble not only taking suggestions from those around me, but not understanding how anyone could see things differently than I do. With hubris, a live-in-me-centered world. That's what it is. The world revolves around me. The universe revolves around me in my hubris world. It's a challenge to faith, as I am the center of everything in that world, not God. I can think I can do it. I think I can do it all myself without God's help or direction, or anyone else's for that matter. I don't need God because I have faith in me. When we find this problem of hubris, extreme pride, addressed over and over again in the scriptures, especially in the book of Proverbs. Here's an example, Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes what? Wisdom. And not just the Old Testament, New Testament as well, 1 Peter 5:5-6. God opposes the proud, shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Throughout the scriptures, being humble is constantly looked at instead of pride. to be something to go for. So how do we overcome these challenges to faith? I mean, it's easy to sit here and talk about them and say, well, we shouldn't, whatever. Well, first thing we need to acknowledge that we have among the challenges, if today, as you've been listening, if one or more than one kind of clicked something in you, if you said, well, yeah, maybe sometimes, well, then we hit a nerve, something's going on there. Okay. So the first thing then to do is pray. Oh, you think, huh? It's church, right? That's always the answer. Always the answer at church. Well, for good reason, because that is the answer. Pray. Well, we're not talking about the little, Lord, help me not be fearful. Thank you. Goodbye. See you later. It's not the quickie in and out prayer we're talking about here. It's going to take care of that. We're talking about deep, deep prayers here. Not skim the surface, go over once prayer. To overcome these challenges of faith, we need to seek God's help. These are serious challenges, and we need help. If we truly believe that with God all things are possible, then with God overcoming challenges like these are possible. Not easy, but possible. We need to picture ourselves handing over these challenges to Jesus and not taking them back. And that's a challenge. It might take a couple of times. I don't know about you guys. I'm pretty good at taking things back from Jesus once I've given them to him. Yeah. It's hard. It takes practice. You might need some extra help somehow, but it is possible. On the flip side, what if instead of praying for me, I prayed for others? What if I pray for somebody else? Because when I do that, then my focus is less on me. All these challenges I mentioned tend to be kind of self-centered, aren't they? When we spend time focusing outside rather than inside, we're able to overcome the challenges when listening today. In addition, don't just pray for others, but do something to help somebody else. You know, when our focus is out there and here, it changes everything. Pastor, author, and speaker Steve Sjogren, who we talked years ago, we talked about him, used some of his books here. He says that simple acts of kindness done with love can change the world. Simple acts of kindness done with love can change the world. And the thing is, it doesn't just change the world, it can change my world. It could change my inside world. When I'm focused on doing something for someone else, my whole focus shifts, and I'm able to overcome some of these challenges to faith. Next, after prayer, of course, is read the Bible. It's church, right? That's always the next thing. But it is. Read the Bible. And I would encourage you, read it first thing in the morning. I've tried not reading it, tried reading it in the first thing, I've tried reading it later in the day, and I find if I read it first thing, then I've already connected with God, and it can't help me but not have a better day. Do I do it every day? No. Why not? Because I'm human, and I don't have good practices, and my routines aren't the best that they could be, but I can try, and you can too. If my focus is on God, if I can pray my focus on God rather than on me, then I can focus on his promises rather than my challenges. Does that make sense? That's what happens if I read the Bible first. I'm going to focus on his promises rather than on my challenges. It's much easier to overcome the challenges of faith when we have God on our side. Also, be part of a biblical community, a small group, we call them, brothers and sisters in Christ who are journeying with us and there with us along the way. People we can tell some of these challenges to. There's got to be people we trust, people we might not You know, you don't tell everything to everybody, but maybe some people that you can really trust with stuff. Yeah. We allow these people in, and they know the real us. They can help us maybe. Maybe they give us a perspective we didn't have, or maybe they just listen. Maybe their experience is similar to ours, maybe not, but we tend to be able to learn when we share with others. Value in being in small groups. There's also value in being a big group like this. And for right now, I'm going to preach to the choir, although we don't have a choir, so I'm going to preach to the praise team here for a minute. It's important to be in church, as you all well know. I'm going to step on your toes there, and Carrie, I'm going to give you an out just for this one day. But it's a one day. And girls, I guess, yeah, my daughters are taking care of her. Being in church, there's nothing like it, is there? There's nothing like being face-to-face, person-to-person with other believers. I mean, if you can't do that, being online, but this is the best. God, that's why God gave us this. That's why he told us to do this. But here's the weird thing. Years ago, and it's not that long ago, what's a regular attender? People say, well, three, probably four times a month. You know what it is today? Once a month. That's good. Once a month. Some of you are going, well, I come through for them. Praise God. Some of you are going, well, I come once a month. Yeah. I'm going to encourage you. Once a month, the more you come, the more you're connecting. And I'm going to encourage you, and I'm not talking to everybody here. I'm going to step on some toes here, but I'm sorry, but I got to. If you're coming, you come in, you sit down, you get up, and you go home, and that's it. You're not getting the full experience. That's almost like being a visitor. You got to get involved. Use your spiritual gifts to glorify God and lift up the body of believers. I don't know what your gifts are, but I know you've got some. If you don't know what they are, we'll have a class. We'll have to let you know when it is. Find out what they are. You got to get intimate with church here, not just sitting in the chair and going home. You got to get connected. And the way you get connected is by connecting, by doing stuff, by using your gifts, by getting involved in the life of the church on a regular basis, sharing with other believers, sharing your gifts, sharing your experience, sharing your life, doing life together, even in a big group like this. It's absolutely crucial if you want to overcome those challenges to faith, is to get involved in the life of the church. So, back to the challenges of faith that I just mentioned a couple months ago. Check out Matthew 6, 28 through 34. Why do you wear a bunch of clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry. Do not worry. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all those things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first. Seek first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will what? Tomorrow's got enough worry of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Take it day at a time. Does that mean you shouldn't put money in the savings account? No, come on. Does that mean you're not thinking about it? No. It means don't stress about tomorrow. Be focused on today. And try to get out of today what you get, not how much worry can I put into today. Worry, anxiety, fear, and other challenges of faith don't change what we face. I've never seen worry yet change a situation. Have you? They say, whoever they is, 95% of what you worry about never happens. And that other 5% usually is not as bad as you thought it was going to be. Worry won't change anything, but faith will. Think about that. Worry won't change a situation, but faith will. Faith will give us that peace that passes all understanding. Faith allows us to get very intimate with God. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and not through anything we do. Certainly not the challenge to the faith that we talked about this morning. It's faith and faith alone that brings salvation. That's what we're counting on, isn't it? Let's believe it. Let's live it. Let's pray. Most holy God, we're pretty good at worrying. We're pretty good at focusing on those challenges of the faith. Lord, help us to be good at focusing on you. Please help us. Please remind us. Please help us to never forget that you are truly the only thing worth having faith in. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we pray. All those gathered said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.